24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Completely Terrace!
Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, Eric here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet. Y'all already know me, I'm Marcy, alongside Matt, the ultimate Kiss fan, Porter. And Porter, second show back, we are not going to disappoint. We have a singer-songwriter from Pottstown, PA. She had the opportunity to open up in front of the biggest names ever. Country music star, opened up for Keith Urban at Music Fest, the one and only Kendall Conrad. Kendall, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me. We were just saying this is like over a year in the making.
I know. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks for asking me.
Definitely. So for those that don't know, tell the Damage fans a little bit about yourself.
So I am a pop country singer-songwriter, which means that I sing the songs that I write, not the genre singer-songwriter, which is completely different. So people sometimes get that mixed up,
that's
which I think is
Damage.
Interesting.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a pop country singer-songwriter. Like you said, I'm from Pottstown. And yeah, I just do local acoustic gigs around Pennsylvania. That's like mainly what I do. I have a lot of social media followers, so I've been doing some like social media influencing and that kind of thing. My mom's here and she's helping me with my new camera.
The rock star, I love it.
My new camera that I just bought, and I'm going to like start video blogging on YouTube. So I'm trying to get a whole bunch of other things happening other than just writing songs and making music. So I'm trying to expand.
Definitely. Well, I loved, over COVID and all that. That didn't stop you. You had your Venmo going, your PayPal. Like, that's smart. That's great. And how'd that work out for you?
You know, I was very skeptical, and I still don't love live streaming live streaming, not like recording a cover song and posting it. Like when people can comment in real time, and it's just, I don't really like it. It's like very awkward and weird, especially when it's like me at my house alone and you finish a song and you end on it and then you just kind of stare at the screen at yourself and like people like put clapping emojis and stuff, but it's like music is a very like connecting, it's an experience that you have with people in the room and like you feed off of each other's energy, and there's just like no energy from a screen. It's just like very cold, so.
Definitely.
I didn't love it, but for COVID purposes,
it worked out.
I threw that Venmo, my virtual tip jar. People tipped me and were super kind.
That's awesome.
So I thank God that that was an option for me, you know, in 2020, because years and years ago, like, it kind of wasn't. So
right. You had our first caller, right, Matt?
Yes.
I was surprised. I was like, oh, the phone is ready.
Damage Radio, who's on the line?
This is Arthur the Bullet Whitman.
Bullet, what's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, sorry about that. I couldn't listen last week because technical difficulties at work. I'm busy at the Masonic Temple in Philadelphia.
Well, Bullet, we appreciate you listening, man. I hope everything's well with you and your family. And, thanks for being a Damage supporter, man.
Doing well. And I do have a question to handle. So how did you start singing, and how did you start?
So I didn't play any instruments as far as accompanying my singing. So I purely just started singing like karaoke. That's how I started. I started singing along to the radio and wanting to enter karaoke contests. And it was just literally me singing. That's how I started doing it. And then I picked up the guitar. And then when I learned guitar, I started writing songs on my guitar. So it all started around me singing along to Whitney Houston. That's how it started.
Awesome. A bullet.
Also, you know, I've been to the Lehigh Valley before, and because I've been to Allentown before.
It's a great area. I love gigging up in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Awesome. It's awesome.
Well, Bullet, thanks so much for calling in and listening, man, and hope you have a great day.
No problem. You too. We'll see you some other time.
All right, Bullet. Take care, brother. Awesome.
I got a question. So how old were you when you started playing guitar?
I probably started at 17, but wasn't like able to play until I was 18.
Okay.
But I probably started at like 17.
Do you remember what's the first song you learned, or even the first chord that you learned?
the first full song that I could play front to back was, it was either I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack, and that song is so easy to play, or it was Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie. Can't remember which came first, because both of them I learned for a purpose. So the Leanne Womack song was for the Relay for Life in Upper Pottsgrove High School on the football field, and it was for their like ending ceremony or something, and I thought I Hope You Dance was a very nice song for that, so I learned that for that, and that was one of my first performances with guitar. Or it was the high school talent show where I played Big Girls Don't Cry, so it was, I learned it like with a goal to like perform it, so maybe that helped in like persevering to learn it, because I'm like, this is the date of the thing that I need to play it at, and it needs to be learned, and I need to be able to play it by this date.
It gave you a determined deadline, and that's good. Now, for those of you that can't see it, obviously, because we are on the radio, you have your name in the, you know, the neck of the guitar. So that's a custom made guitar?
It is a custom from Martin
Guitar. Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah. They are, you know, the craftsmanship of these guitars, you really can't beat it. And I went into like a Sam Ash when I was picking out my very first guitar that was my guitar, and I played them all, and I picked, of course I picked the Martin that did not have a sound pickup, and my dad was like, there's other Martins here that have the plug-in, don't you want one of those? And I remember it like it was yesterday, and I'm like, well, they don't sound like this one, they don't, it doesn't have the same sound, so we had to pay extra for them to like drill a electric plug-in. Because that was that difficult, but I still have that guitar to this day, and
that's
can
fantastic.
Still play.
Now, Zach, did you get that from the factory? They custom made that for you?
I've never been to the factory, but
that's
like,
pretty incredible. If you ever get a chance to go there, it really is. The tour is amazing.
Everyone tells me that,
and they are such craftsmen. That's the thing that, and especially like you know, you said you went through and you played a bunch of guitars. You find the one that feels like you. And I think that's fascinating. The fact that it's so close by as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we kind of almost take for granted it's in our backyard.
Yes.
But those guitars are all over the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is something else. I mean, it's a beautiful guitar, obviously, that we've gotten. But you know, I'm always impressed because I think, especially that's why I ask you your first guitar. People remember their first guitar, and then they remember their durable guitar. Like that's the one that probably takes you places, right?
Yeah, this is my gigging guitar.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted one that was like well balanced. So my very first guitar was bassy. It was very, very bassy, and like I would play it out, and all the sound techs that I work with, or like I would always have to turn the bass down. So this one is definitely more balanced with the treble and the bass, so I can more easily drag it around to places.
Right.
And I feel like it's a little more hardy. I don't know. Maybe because again we drilled the hole and they had to put the electronics in it, and so I feel like at one point the electronics like came unglued or felt like I was constantly trying to fix the electronics in the first guitar again because it wasn't supposed to be there.
Right. Modified.
Right. So this one is just, it's more trustworthy.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that's a trick, because when you figure you're hauling into a situation sometimes, you don't always know. As long as you know your guitar works, you're going to be okay. So
yeah.
That's great.
That's very true. Yeah. You don't have, that's one thing you don't have to worry about.
Right.
Yeah.
So we always remember our first guitar, but also our first performance. Do you remember where it was, in front of how many people, the jitters? Talk about that.
That's an amazing question.
Well, thank you.
And I wish that I had an answer for you of that, and I don't remember at all what that was. So, like, I really don't. I do remember my first solo at school was the Little Mermaid Part of Your World.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, and that was, I was in the fourth grade. And I feel like that was my first solo performance. I do remember that.
That
wasn't a gig.
Was
that was like
you?
A recital or something. Right. It wasn't like any big deal. It was like the school. It wasn't even the talent show. It was like the choir. And then like a couple of us got to sing solos during the recital. But
is that when you knew this was for you?
I don't think there was like any one moment that I'm like, this is going to be it for me, where I like picked it. I think I just always liked to sing, so I sang. It wasn't like, I'm going to stop doing this or I'm going to keep doing it. It was just like, I enjoy singing. And I just kept doing it. And then at the point where you realize you have to get a job and make money, that's when I was a hostess at an Italian restaurant. It's the only real job I've ever had when I was like 16. It was right before I learned guitar. And then I learned guitar and I quit that job. And then I started gigging, and I've done that since I was 18. And I never, even during COVID, I started looking up like other jobs, like ways that I could make money. And I still just depended upon live streaming to like, for people tipping me. Like even then I still didn't have to do anything else. So
was it weird in the beginning getting tips like that?
I mean, like people, I put out a tip bucket. Right. People who've come to see my shows know I have a bright orange sandcastle bucket, which
so they know this is for you.
That's my tip bucket, yes. And I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but it was my first gig where I needed a tip jar, and it was in Phoenixville, and it was for one of their like festivals or First Fridays or something. And I was playing out on the street on Bridge Street in Phoenixville, and my mom was like, You're going to sing out on the street, on a stool, like busking. You need a tip jar. We didn't have any, like, everything was glass. We didn't have a jar. And then it was summer, and my mom was like, you know what? Let's just use this. We were just at the beach. Let's just use this sandcastle bucket for now until we find, like, a suitable tip jar.
Has some sand in it and everything from she sells.
And she wrote tips on a piece of paper and taped it to this sandcastle bucket. And that's what I use now, like right now, today. I use that same bucket. And the where you wrote tips on it, it's the same piece of paper from when I was 18. And that's what I use now, and I'm 30. So that and that was supposed to be, I'll replace it with a real tip jar, and it never happened. So it's
damaged.
Yeah. It's good luck.
Isn't that funny, though?
That's awesome.
Well, that's what we did with our banner. It was myspace.com/completelydamaged. We just put the, instead of 80 more bucks for a banner, no, let's just get a paper, put YouTube in front of it, or completely.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And it still works. You know, no one's going to look at your banner like this, you know? Like,
yeah.
They'll look at you first, so.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation piece. Remember right. MySpace?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it has history. There's a history to it.
Yep.
Not like, oh, this is fresh, I just got it. There's no stories with it.
No.
Yep. Something that, like, you've used for a long time, or it's stood the test of time. It's right. Like, you know what? I have a lot of great stories with this.
It's important to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So growing up, who were some artists that you looked up to?
You know, it's funny because I feel like, you know how you go through phases and stuff? So, like, I started with, like, Whitney, Mariah, Celine, Madonna. I started with that whole crew. And then from there it moved into Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls when I, like, got older. And then from there it segued into Boys Like Girls, We the Kings, All Time Low. It was, like, pop punk.
Okay, cool.
And so, and then that's kind of when I was learning guitar. So then I learned like Green Day, Time of Your Life. And so I segued it. So it went from like 90s power ballads to like the pop. And then it went into pop punk. And then when I learned guitar, and then I started listening to country music because of Taylor Swift. And so I started listening to Faith Hill. And I had always listened to Shania, but she was like a standalone. Yeah. I kind of put her in with like Whitney and Mariah and that whole like crew of women, even though she was country, because she just put out bangers and she was like a big brand, and so she was like a standalone. I always listened to Shania, but when I started listening to Taylor, then I really delved into more of who was in the genre, like Joe DiMassina and the Dixie Chicks and Martina McBride, and then from there, like more of the men. But see, the guy songs are harder for me to learn because you have to transpose them. So I wasn't really interested in learning songs, but now it's easier because I feel like, okay, where does this song fit in my voice? But back then I was still like learning guitar, so it was harder. So I mainly stuck to, like, I still remember like looking up the chords of those songs, Independence Day, Martina, and I still play those songs. So it's like a weird mixture of things. And then somewhere in there I started like doing musical songs, like listening to musical songs like Wicked and Funny Girl, Streisand, and like, and that's somewhere in there. So I like really hopped around. The only one I never really got into as far as genre goes is, and I still don't love it, is like an indie folk. I don't love that as a genre. Even indie music, I just really love anything commercial. I don't like extremes in any genre, and that's still, it's funny because I still can't get anything indie. It's too, I don't know, heady or something. Okay. Like, or meditative, or like you really have to sit and like, and there's such background of how those writers wrote those songs, and it's either like I was high or like there's such stories of how like a history. And with commercial songs, it's like, this guy broke my heart.
Yeah. I need some whiskey.
Screw you. Yeah. Here it is. And it's like so straightforward. And I'm like, yeah, I can get behind that. So that's one genre. I can't get into it. I don't know why. Can't get into it.
Well, I don't know about you, Matt, but I'm dying to hear a song. Can you sing us a song?
Oh, okay. I forgot. I've been holding this guitar. Sure.
And what are you going to sing for us today?
This is called Better On, and it's on all of the streaming apps. Is that what you call them? Apps?
Platforms?
I act like I'm ancient. I don't know what
that is. Well, you know, the good thing, anybody that's out there needs to know, this is 100% live. We have a couple mics. There's nothing else other than your voice and your guitar, and you're listening to Monaco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Boy, we called it quits for the last time, and here I am again, can't say why. I'm knocking on your door like every time before, knowing that we're better off. All my friends say that you're no good, you never loved me like you should. You dodge a bullet, you know he was never worth it. Yeah, you're better off. I got it through my head, but my heart just can't forget. We were better on a hot night, red wine. Boy, I could use a drink. Better on a king size all night. Put your hands all over me. Better on makeup, kisses while we break up, knowing that the over don't ever last long. We're good undercovers, so bad for each other, boy. We should just move on. We'd be better off. Are you gonna ask me inside? Don't make me stand here all night. Everything I got on my chest, your favorite chest. I'm thinking that it's better off. Better off. We were better on a hot night or in wine. Boy, I could use a drink. Better on a king size all night. Put your hands all over me. Better on makeup, cause it's while we break up, knowing that the over don't ever last long. We're good undercovers, bad for each other.
Radio or MoncaRadio.com or Music and Minds, me, the one and only Kendall Conrad. Matt, can't get better
now,
than
look,
that.
Now, look, you said earlier that when you did the performances into the phone, it was weird. Mm. So I'm trying not to just, like, stare at you.
Well, no, I like the in-person things. Like,
with that no was glass fantastic. And everything. Yeah,
is
right.
The point is there's no one staring at me. That's the point. It's just me staring at myself.
And hearing the dog in the background at home probably, right?
Yeah. No, it's just like, I don't know. It's just a very weird. I don't. No, I was not meant.
Fantastic to. Performance, though. I mean, that really comes alive. And like I mentioned right before the start of the song, for anybody listening, this is as live as it gets. It's literally two mics that we have open where there's not even really any good reverb or anything. That's
but it does
pure
sound.
Talent.
It sounds very good. It's, though. It's a like great in my headphones. Station. It sounds yeah. good.
But that's I think one of the things people really got to know. That was 100% live. Fantastic. Yeah.
Yep. So. Thanks.
You have a question or comment? 215-619-7366. Yep. And Kendall, I have a question for you. Where are some places music has taken you? Because I know you opened for the Mets, the Phillies, mm-hmm. NASCAR, you name it, even professional wrestling at one point, mm-hmm. where you were in and out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Talk all about that, how that was.
So those are always like super unique because, especially like with the national anthem for those things, you're really, it's like hurry up and wait. And it's like you sound check because the athletes have to warm up. So it's like, hurry up and get out on the field. And then it's like, you go back to the dressing room and then you sit for another hour. And then it's like, hurry up. And like, now we have to go into this other area to like be in position for the anthem. And we hurry up to go there. And then I stand there for another hour. And so it's this very, so even like when people ask me if I get nervous at these things, it's so drawn out, these things, that honestly, but sometimes by the time I actually get the mic in my hand, I'm like, let's just do this. Like, it was such a long buildup.
How's the walk, knowing 20,000 people are watching you walk into like the pitching mound or whatever you do it at?
That's not too bad. It's more because it's a cappella. Okay. And that is like everyone staring at you, and there's no guide. It's just you standing there. There's no music. And it's just like, Kendall singing the anthem. And then it's silence, and then you have to find the key, and you have to go. And that's always like very, I don't know. It's like not necessarily nerve-wracking for me, where I like get panicky or anxious or anything, but it's like, it's just a lot of pressure. And so when artists forget the, like big artists forget the words to the anthem, and like they get just crucified, or, and I'm like, you know what? That is so hard to do. Like, even for whoever forget, like Christina Aguilera, I can't remember. Like, there have been huge stars who've forgotten the words. So it's just a lot of pressure. And, you know, everyone's judging it and, like, going to be critical of the way that you did it. And but, yeah, I mean, that's such a different vibe than just, like, a show. Right. So, yeah, definitely different, like, mindset and everything.
Do you have any radio-friendly road stories that you can share?
Ooh, road stories. Oh, my gosh. I have, like, the one that comes to the top of my head was I had to fly home from when I was living in Nashville for a gig. It was just some regular gig, but it was during a snowstorm. And I get to the Nashville airport, and like all the flights are grounded. I think we sat in the airport for like 5 hours. I'm alone. I befriend other people on this flight. We're sitting in the Nashville airport for like 5 hours. And so we finally get on the plane, and it takes off, and we're at the layover in Detroit. That flight into Philly was like delayed. People are like crying. Some woman on the flight was crying because she had to go to her sister's wedding or so. I remember this like so vividly. Everyone's like in a panic. We're all worried that the plane isn't gonna make it. It's like a blizzard. And then we're like, maybe we shouldn't have taken off. Yeah, it was rough. And I wound up never making it home. I took a flight from Detroit back to Nashville. I never made it home. And then I had to sit all weekend in Nashville, cancel all of my gigs back home because I couldn't get into Philly. It was so bad.
How'd you end up in Nashville?
I just randomly decided to move there.
And, I mean, music is everywhere now. Right. That's incredible. Mm. Were you writing like right in the city area or like?
Yeah, I was near Belmont.
Because, I mean, that's the funny thing. What I've struck every time I go to Nashville is that even the McDonald's has a stage. You know, like, no matter where you go, someone's got a guitar. And, like you said, you have your tip bucket out. But even at the McDonald's, we were there a couple of years ago, and you walk in, and Sunday morning, there's somebody playing. And everywhere you go.
I think it's a little much.
Right.
It's a little much. And especially if, like, not even if, I know that they're not getting paid to do that. It's purely tips.
Right.
And so if everyone has a tip jar, like how many tips do you think these people are getting? I don't know. I just doubt. I've never really asked them.
We gave
them
a lot of tips because we were eating some good McDonald's breakfast too.
Did you really?
Yeah, sure. A McPancake or whatever.
Oh my gosh. No, I played at a Starbucks down there before. Yeah, I think it's a little much, but I mean, they're trying to live up to that name of
Music City. Right.
But the crazy part of it is they don't treat their musicians well. Mm. They treat the tourists well. They don't treat us well. So it's a little BS.
Right.
So it kind of makes me mad. Obviously, during COVID, came back home and never moved back down. And like, I don't even know if I will or not. I just lost so much money down there, and it's like fun to visit, and the food was amazing, and the vibe is great, but
some Nashville hot chicken,
right? Yes. Yeah, like there's so many, even like the sushi places are amazing, right. Like there's so many good spots, but yeah, it's just not, it's not musician friendly. It really isn't. Like, and
food
I've heard
friendly, but
it's food friendly, and then I've heard like to unload equipment. I read this horror story from this one band where they were like unloading equipment on Broadway, and they came back out to get something else, and like their entire van and the time that it took them to go in, like all their equipment was stolen. I've heard people get ticketed from the police from like they're in a loading zone and they're like, what? And the money that they made on that gig went to pay their ticket. Right. Like just, they're just, and like those cops, you know that they're gigging musicians not getting paid on Broadway. You know this. I don't know. It's just, it breaks my heart a little bit.
You'd think, right, they'd be so used to the idea, hey, look, here's somebody unloading equipment, yeah, like every day, you know, like that they'd be used to that.
Mm-hmm. And I've read and heard so many of these stories from people who it happened to them. And I just, yeah, I mean, I still love Nashville, but I definitely have, like, having lived there and experienced it, know what is total BS right. and what is a fairy tale and what is actually happening. And sometimes I just go along with it when people are like, oh, it's amazing. And I'm like, for tourists, it's amazing. But that's, you know, not if you live there as a musician. Right. It's just not, it's not great.
As a tourist, the nice thing was you could literally walk from door to door and it was a different band in every door.
And you're amazing. Like,
you know, it was incredible. And the yeah. level of talent so was good. Insane.
Yes.
But yeah, I could see where, yeah, you're swimming among a lot of fish and maybe they're making it tougher on you than they should. So.
Yeah. I don't even mind the competition. It's just that they don't pay you.
Right.
That's my problem with it. Like, competition is one thing. Not getting paid to work is like weird, but that's how it
that
is.
That little sandcastle better fill up.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, absolutely. And like, I often wonder if it does, because some of those bands are playing with like 6-piece bands. How many tips are you splitting? What?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Are you all on the same page and all that?
Yeah, it's just wild. So yeah, I have a whole different perspective of Nashville. No. Still love it, but maybe not as a working artist. Not great.
Now, talk about the importance of balancing social life with your music and career, work life, everything, family life. Have you gotten that balance yet? Or?
I don't have a social life, so it doesn't really need to be balanced at this point. Right. and really, I only hang out with my parents as far as like family life goes. So obviously my mom is here. So again, there's not much. All I do is music, like truly. I don't really have many like hobbies or that. I like to eat. I have a food blog.
Kendra eats, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I
saw you doing it.
I have my food blog and I enjoy eating and drinking.
Right.
Alcohol and like coffee. Lattes, beverages.
Alley, so.
Yeah, so like that's a thing. But again, I've monetized it and I've grown my food blog on Instagram and I've done all that. So even that is still kind of like working. So I just really enjoy working and that has always come first for me. So.
Well, it's nice your mom came in carrying half the gear and got the camera and she's taking pictures. And it's nice to have a support system, obviously, that, you know, she's right here with you.
Yeah.
Now, come in and talk on the mic. What's it been like to be, you mom, know, a main supporter? I mean, obviously, you've been part of the journey.
It's your time to shine.
We're going to put you on the mic for just a second. Yeah. I mean, obviously, look, I think that's so important, especially when you have people around you that you trust. And I mean, like you said, I mean, you're going out there to be an artist, but you have to have that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's fantastic that, you know, thanks for coming in as well to come in and do the show. It's nice. The, you know, that kind of thing. Now, how has that been? How have you found like your network of people, your support system to do this, like to really keep going?
Yeah. I mean, the fans and my friends, they know who they are. They constantly like my posts. They comment. When it's something that's fan voted, they message me, I voted for you. I'm like, I know, like they show up, they tip me. They sometimes tip me way too much. And I'm like, you come so often, like you don't have to keep tipping me. And they just like, I have this huge support system in real life and online. Some of these people I've never even met before, but they comment on my live streams. They tip me virtually too. It's just, it's wild. Sometimes they'll like, even for my birthday, some of my friends and slash fans, it kind of morphs into both where we're friends, we're fans, they're fans. I don't know where the line is because it's like they've been following me for so long and I feel like they know me, I know them, they give me birthday gifts. Like, cool. Yeah, I sing happy birthday. They bring their families out. I sing happy birthday to their kids, like stuff like that. So, yeah, that support system is a huge deal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
watching you on YouTube in front of on stage with Keith Urban, I had to smile for you. Because just see, like, you're in that moment where you made it and you're giving your mom a shout out. Like, that just shows you how much of love and support you have for your mom.
Well, she was also, like, there. Right there. She was
right
like,
there, right holding up a sign, give me a shout out. But being on there, was there nerves? Like, talk about the whole event coming up and how that worked out. Being on his website.
Yeah. Well, that was, like, not, I was, like, shocked at that. It was, like, Keith Urban's favorite moments from the whole tour, which he had been on for a year. And, I mean, it was, like, a global tour. It wasn't just the States. And I don't even know what possessed me, and I was like scrolling, and he picked the photo of me and him for like the front page of his website, and I was like, that's me, that's amazing. Granted, like, I was in a very sparkly, like, I look real good that day, and so like it was great to put on his website. So like I was like, that is a great photo. I mean, whoever works his website is not wrong. We looked great, and he had his guitar, and we were like jamming. It was an action shot. But no, I mean, that whole day was just amazing and magical, and I wish that I had had a full opening act time slot also. I even forget who opened for him that day, but Brett Eldridge opened for him, who was another huge star in himself. I would have just shown up for Brett Eldridge. That was a great show. But the whole night was just amazing, and I had a lot of fun, and it was never like, I was never nervous, or I was just really happy to be there.
And so it wasn't great. A quick thing either. He was like, tell the fans out there where you perform at.
Well, and he like, you know, threw me. And then yeah. I was like, where even am I performing? I don't even, like, I wasn't prepared for him to speak to me.
I know, and that was awesome.
Yeah, like he gave me a platform in front of 6,000 people there at Music Fest to like talk about me as an artist. And then I couldn't even remember. And also,
what's your name? I don't remember.
I was like, he was like, where are you playing? And then at that point too, like, I play so many restaurants and bars and wineries and things, and then I was like, do I want to shout one specific and like, even though I am playing it like tomorrow, do I want to and single out this one restaurant? Because again, it was like a local show, and everyone has been supportive in booking me and having me play at their, and then I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. So that was also going through my head about the favoritism.
All those decisions in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't say a specific bar. And then, like, all of the press for this one brewery, when, like, I know how many people have supported me, and it just didn't seem fair. So, and then I was just like, I checked my page.
Yeah. I play around. I play everywhere.
Yeah, well, and that's, it was true. It wasn't, like, a line.
Right. So, and do you have another song you can play for us?
I do.
Awesome. We're live here on Damage Radio on MonkaRadio.com, where music reminds me. And we're about to hear another song by Kendall Conrad.
This is called I Don't Need You Now. It's also on all of the streaming things, platforms. Apps.
You never asked me to senior prom. Wasn't cool enough to meet your mom. Dreamed about riding shotgun top down in your Jeep. Guess you never really noticed me. You never told me I was pretty before. When I walked in, you never even held the door. Now you're standing in front of me telling me everything I would have died to hear, but it don't mean much after all these years. Where were you when I fell at your feet at the homecoming game and you stepped right over me? Where were you when I wore that dress that I wore just for you at that party for your friend? I don't need you now. that you stepped right over me. Somehow I survived when I wore that dress that I wore just for you at that party for your friend. Never needed you then. I sure don't need you now. I don't need you now. You never asked me to see me.
Thank you.
Now, look, we have somebody on the phone, but I got to ask you a question real quick. Who were your earliest teachers? Who really helped you develop your voice?
I don't know. Like, I had a voice coach for a while, and she was the choir director at school, mm-hmm. and that's how I got connected with her. And I took voice lessons with her for a while, and then it turned into full-out vocal coaching. And then at one point, it was just a lot of technique, and it was, like, too much. And it was like, this is how you reach this note by using your diaphragm and doing all this. And like, this is how you warm up and this is how you do this. And I think I was like too creative for it. And I just felt like I didn't want to sound like everybody else. And that's kind of like everyone uses these techniques to sing. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to do my own thing. Right. So I quit. And I still talk to her to this day. I'm still friends with her. I could reach out to her like tomorrow. Like she, like we're still really great friends, but no, I was like, respectfully, I'm quitting.
Please.
And I taught myself. I really think I taught myself. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
You do have a caller.
We have a caller. Damage Radio. Who's on the line?
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Ethan. Hey, Dylan. How are you guys? My number one fans.
Hi.
How's it going, guys? Are you enjoying the music?
Yeah.
Okay, well... Daddy's going to be home in a little bit.
Too cute.
I love you.
I love you too, guys. Thank you, Faith.
I love you too. Okay, well, let me go.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. You can't get any better than that, right?
That is so... They're so supportive.
I only had to give them... I only had to pay them $20 in order to call in for me. Yep. There's a happy meal for you guys coming.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. 7.5 and 5.
Aww.
Two boys. Yep.
That's amazing. And thank they you. Listen. And, oh, that's listen, yep. that's amazing.
I got two fans at least.
Good for you. That's awesome. Well, yeah. You're doing something right then.
Appreciate it.
Right?
Appreciate it, yeah.
Like, no. You got to be so proud of that.
I'm proud of them for listening. Yep.
Yeah.
And listen, you know.
That's so great. Talk I love that
thank
for you.
Thank you. Now, can you talk about your writing process?
Writing process is... mostly me having a title that I think is cool or like a concept around a title that I think is cool and then pairing it with an actual experience that happened to me. So it's like a very methodical process that happens. Like rarely do I just like sit down to write, which everyone in Nashville and publishers all yell at me for. They're like, it's a muscle and you have to like, even if you don't feel like it, you have to sit down and pull out the guitar and write every day and work at it. And I'm like, I don't really like that. So I only really write when I feel inspired to write, which, again, everyone's like, that's terrible. But that's just how I am. But so I have, like, a list, a note on my phone of, like, when I have ideas and things and I'll, like, jot it down. And then I have a bunch of, like, voice memos when I have, like, a melody or something. And when I feel like I want to write, I kind of, like, go into that and pair stuff together that works.
You so. Ever dream a song?
That's a very good question. I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think it's funny every once in a while, you know, you dream something, you think, did I make that up in my head or is that something I already know?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go, what is that?
Well, like, and then psychology, I wake up and I'll forget, psychology you know? Is like, it's everything is something you already know.
Right.
Because it's your own mind. Right?
That's
I've read so many things about that, and they were like, it was like some psychologist wrote this article, and they were like, whatever you conjure up in your mind when you're sleeping, as far as dreams go, like you've either seen it somewhere or like subconsciously you're thinking about it, like it's all still in your wheelhouse. There's nothing that you can like pull from outside of yourself, even if it's wacky. And I remember that, and so it was like it's all. stuff that you learned and that you know when you dream about stuff.
Deep conversations with Ken. Ken coming up next. Love it.
I don't know if it's true or not, but he has a PhD. Whoever
it makes a lot of sense.
He's a doctor.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, it's like your imagination. Yeah, I guess it has to come from somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they were like things that, situations and things, it's either stuff that you're struggling with or you're afraid of, and then pieces of like physically what you dream up, it's all like a table you saw somewhere when you were a child and buried it, but you thought it was cool, and so now you're dreaming about it. Like he was just like, everything in your dreams is something that you are acquainted with. And I was like, that's very weird. Like, that's wild.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Next month we have something huge coming up, Music Fest.
Right.
First off, Boys and Men, please let her sing. I saw One Sweet Day and
trying.
I was like, we need to hear it live on Monk. That's how great it was, you know? Well, I mean, you're catching the mugs and all that.
Yes.
13, right? 13 or 12 you had?
Yes, 12.
Yep, 12. Yeah. I was impressed.
I was two away from the record.
Oh. But talk about that. Boys to Men. That'd be awesome if you could go on stage with them.
So again, like, I grew up with listening to Mariah, and like that song was huge. And so like I already know the song well. And they don't, at least as far as my knowledge of looking them up, they don't ever sing it with someone else. They let the crowd sing her part, which is very cool. So maybe they don't want me to sing it because it's a very cool, they sing it and then they take Mariah's verse and they take her part. And they literally have an entire crowd of people singing Mariah back to them. And so I don't know if that's like a cool gimmicky thing for them and they don't want to mess with that. And their
Let's
music
change
fest,
it right now, you know?
I know. But see, they lose that crowd participation song for them. And like they love it. They hold the mic out and everyone's screaming the song. So maybe they're like, we don't want to not do that. So that's my theory.
That could be.
So it's all about like the show and the dynamics of the show. So, but I think I could totally do it. So.
Right.
We know you can. We heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. I posted it. I tagged them. Yeah. So we'll see.
So tell the Diamond Trainers a little bit about Music Fest. What can they expect to go there, and what can they expect to see you live?
So Music Fest is, I would say, the biggest music festival in the Lehigh Valley. I mean, even like reaching farther out, like that festival is huge. I always say it's like Philadelphia quality, like humongous stars. I mean, you can see a huge star for free. Remember, Sam Hunt played for free.
Really?
On a free stage at Music Fest. You didn't need a ticket. You just pulled up your lawn chair. Mm. And they have artists like that in all genre. You can hear a polka band. Yeah. You can hear Celtic music.
Folk.
And then yes. Yeah. You can hear heavy metal. They don't discriminate. They have like psychedelic rock, all sorts of like subgenres. So
And it's so nice there. The steel stacks. I mean, they
beautiful.
Really,
and then they have
sightseeing
food
and everything. So.
All the food trucks, all the amazing, like they bring so many cool things in. So I would say it is like definitely worth checking out, even if you can't see my sets, which are August 6th. I'm playing the big downtown Bethlehem stage in the middle of Main Street. And then I'm doing August 7th. I'm playing the Martin Guitar sponsored stage, which is inside a theater, which should be nice if it's hot. So I'm looking forward to that. August 7th at 7 p.m., I believe. So I get two stages this year.
Well, I'll be there August 6th supporting you.
Will you come?
I'm going to make the drive up, yep.
Awesome.
So I'll be there, yep. And supporting Damage, supporting you. And we really appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
Please tell the Damage fans where they can support you and follow you.
So I'm on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok under @KendallConrad. And it's spelled with one L, K-E-N-D-A-L, Conrad with a C. And then my Facebook is a little different. It's Kendall Conrad Music. Is the URL for it. So, and I post all my gigs on my Facebook page. So I'm on all of the things. Again, my music's on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you listen to music, YouTube, all of those things. So,
now, can you play us out one more song?
I can.
Damage fans, thank you so much for listening. And Kendall Conrad here to support her, support local artists, and go to Music Fest August 6th.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Anytime you're welcome. You're welcome to come anytime you want.
I'm going to take you up on that.
All right.
Next time I put out a song.
Let's do it.
All right, this is my favorite song that I've written. It's called Leader of the Pack. You can stomp me in the dark, out in the woods. You thought you could keep me from the stars. They're closing in now. I can hear you left me for dead with nothing else to be said. So give me a second.
second thought. Set your traps and eyes on my way to the top. Ain't gonna stop till she whips me wild. No one around to save you now. If you throw me to the wolves, I'll come back, come back. I'll come back, come back. The leader of the pack, pack. The leader of the pack, pack, pack. The leader of the pack. I survived. Now I'm a predator on the chase. You're the man who can't hide, can't run from me now. You think you're gonna leave me for dead with nothing else to be said? Then give me a second thought. Say traps and I was gonna find my way to the top. Ain't gonna stop till she weapons me well. No one around to save you now. If you throw me to the wolves, I'll come back, come back. I'll come back, come back. The leader of the pack, 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 pack. The leader of the pack, 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 pack. The leader of the pack. To be said, to give me a second thought. Set your traps and I was gone. I'm on my way to the top. Ain't gonna stop till she lives and see you out.
Thank you.
Damage fans, thank you so much for listening today. Our second show live back. It's so great. Matt, always a pleasure. Kendall, thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy Music Fest.
Oh, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love watching you as well.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. You're gonna. Have you been before?
Never been. First timer. Yep.
You're going to be, especially as someone who like loves music and is in the business, you'll really love it. It's like you can hop, and the music, it's like Nashville. Every stage.
As long as I find a parking spot, I'll be good.
You'll find.
Okay, perfect.
They're prepared.
They are.
So, awesome. Yeah.
Well, Damage fans, thank you so much for listening. Remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkerRadio.com where music and minds meet.